Welcome to Streaming Quick Thoughts, where we stream our quick thoughts on trending topics. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast. So, Daniel, are we still keeping up with WandaVision? Does it still have you gripped every Friday to just get on it as soon as you can?
I am so into this show. Every single episode of WandaVision, I have watched multiple times. I'm not going to lie. It is definitely not a one-watch show. I have been watching every single episode repeatedly. It's been so much fun. And this latest episode is very telling as to what is happening here. And it is very interesting.
Now, that is something I thought was rather interesting, is this latest show broke a trend of what the show has been doing so far.
And what trend is that?
Well, we've been skipping decades every single time. We had a 50s episode, a 60s episode, 70s episode, 80s episode.
Episodes, yep.
This should have been our 90s episode. And the style of dress and things like that were rather reminiscent of the 90s. The sitcom that they seemed to be copying for it was Malcolm in the Middle, which was a 2000 sitcom.
Yes, definitely. You're right. It was a shift for sure in terms of that. And I wonder if we're going to continue to stay in this decade or if we're going to move forward even more. Because how do you move past this, right? I mean, we're going to see some really creative stuff in the next episode for sure as far as how the show is going to go, especially after what happened at the end of this episode, right?
Well, I mean, it still fits. We can still have our 2000 decade. We can have our 2010 decade. And then that puts us up into 2020, which...
Current times, yeah.
The current time frame for WandaVision is 2023, so it works.
You're right. Now, in the next episode of the WandaVision show, and I'm talking about this show is very meta, right? I always say there's a television show within a television show. Now, in the next episode of the WandaVision television show that exists within the WandaVision television show, we're going to have extra characters. We're going to have Darcy in there.
Darcy's getting out inside of the world. We're going to have a whole carnival to deal with.
Yeah. And clowns, it's going to be interesting. And I'm wondering here how that's going to change, if at all, the next episode. If we're going to keep going with the same routine, the same like, hey, we're basing this off of a TV show, or if it's going to be something completely different in the next show.
Yeah, because you no longer have the S.H.I.E.L.D. camp outside watching it as a show.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, elephant in the room, I made a bold prediction that I had completely convinced myself was going to happen, and it didn't happen in this episode.
And what was that?
That if Mephisto truly is involved, because in the comics, he was involved in her having kids in the first place. That's why everyone's thinking Mephisto needs to be there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I was convinced that once we got to the Halloween episode, if he was present, it would be revealed who he was through his costume.
Right.
And we did not see that.
We did not.
Dottie is supposed to be at the center of everything. She hasn't returned since that second episode.
Yep. She has not.
So.
Now, it's interesting, you know, because the second time watching this episode, I found that it was very interesting that Agnes ended up where she ended up. Right? Because in previous episodes, Agnes was just around the corner.
Always center.
Always ready to assist and be there for anybody or for Wanda whenever she needed it.
To have her TV show, yes.
Exactly. And now she ended up on a really far part of the city and she was stuck, but she wasn't frozen like the other people. And not only that, but when Vision went up in the air and then Vision saw that car, something called to him to go to that car, it seemed like, right? Like, why did he go there? Why not go anywhere else? It was just interesting to me that Agnes is now stuck, so to speak, or was stuck in that state.
Well, it was almost like the whole Westview suburb was set for the WandaVision show, and no one was actually, quote, becoming active until they moved in to that location for her to have people to interact with, which does tie into a potential answer. She can't control 1,000 people at once. So when she's not using them for her show, she just has them in this kind of weird stasis off camera, as it were.
It's possible. I mean, there were some really messed up parts of it with like that woman trying to hang the Halloween decorations and she was sort of stuck in this loop, right? But from the fact that we saw this woman crying made me think that she is aware of what's happening and she's just repeating this motion over and over and it's not able to escape. Now, I'm still of the mindset that Wanda did not create this because she's not aware. She doesn't remember how. She told Pietro, or, you know, fake Pietro, that she just remembered being in, like, completely alone, and that, and then she just woke up in this world, yeah. Right? Like, it wasn't something that she consciously created.
So she is definitely controlling it. She is creating it. She's the one who chose to expand it in order to re-engulf and save Vision.
Yeah.
This is definitely her creation, but I still think there's something out there that is giving her a power boost in order to actually do this.
Yes, I totally agree with you, because, again, we have seen Wanda's powers throughout the MCU, and it's never been anywhere near close to this. I mean, she literally created life out of the twins and gave them superpowers.
And also on that point, let's talk about Peter, Pietro.
Yeah.
Obviously, our first assumption was he would cross over the multiverse to be here.
Right. Yeah, that was her first assumption.
That's not what he is. I mean, they have that scene where she sees him with the bullet hole still in him.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with that if it's not the same Pietro?
Right. Well, I mean, he did say in the show or in the episode that he said that one minute I was just on the street getting shot and the next minute I was here.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, because you needed me to be here. But again, the fact that Wanda was so surprised and so shocked when he showed up in the last episode, again, just kind of told me that there is some level of control that Wanda has, but there's still something else, I think, that's influencing or playing some kind of part in this that Wanda's not aware of.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit telling, too, because aside from being the favorite uncle, big brother that the twins both love and leads them into getting into all this havoc and trouble.
Yeah.
He is sitting there not to make her feel better.
He isn't.
Everything he has said to her, and like, and she's even testing him to see if it really is her brother. So she doesn't believe that per se. But everything he says to her is ultimately to torture her.
Yeah. I mean, he questioned her as far as the creation of the twins, for example, and the way he did it, he was joking, definitely, right, about how, like, you definitely don't, you know, you want to skip all of those hard moments, right, and you only want to have one episode arc for this and all that kind of stuff. And then he said that you handled the ethical considerations of this the best way you could.
Right.
It's like a part of Wanda's consciousness or a part of Wanda's...
And even his comment right before he got blasted is, well, what's the worst that can happen? It's not like your husband can die twice.
Exactly.
Your dead husband can die twice.
Dead husband can die twice. Exactly.
I think that's where we're seeing the third act is going to be leading, is that she is going to be much more tortured in these... final act of this show. First act, she's living her ideal life and slowly losing control of it. The third act, she is going to start being tortured, I think, in every sense of the word, where she's going to realize this is not the perfect realm that she wanted. Hey, and that's a great point to talk about the commercial of this episode.
What a messed up commercial this one was.
I watched that a couple times. Like most of the other ones, like the last commercial we saw, and we didn't talk about it, it was for Lagos Paper Towels, which is kind of a brawny commercial.
When you make a mess you didn't intend.
But Lagos was the place where she made a mess of things by blowing up the UN building.
Yeah, by accident.
This is the first commercial that I don't think I can tie it back to anything she has previously done.
You're right. Because it's typically centered around a major...
defining point of Wanda.
A defining point in Wanda's life, right? Whether it be Tony Stark, Hydra, Strucker, you know, and all of those things, right? Like that sort of played a significant role or have made a significant impact in Wanda's life. This commercial, you're right, it doesn't tie back to anything specifically, and it is creepy. So creepy. Yeah, I think that's the commercial was sort of odd, and I think it was in every episode, there's always something unsettling, right? And I think that in this episode, it was definitely a commercial that was a little unsettling because it was like, what does this have to do with anything?
I think it is a guide of where the third act is taking us, and Wanda's going to be tortured. She knows she's going to learn magic is not going to be her solution to problems.
Yes.
That is where we're going with our third act, and I think that is what that commercial was setting up. Not any defining moment of her past. past, but the defining moment to come.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Now, switching gears from Wanda to our favorite Captain Marvel-related friend, Monica Rambeau, MCU is setting up, it's laying the groundwork for a new superhero.
Yeah, I mean, Monica Rambeau does get superhero powers.
Yeah, in the comics, she does.
There were certain visual elements that kind of hinted towards her superhero comic persona. But something that I think is more interesting on this is, if you go back through the MCU,
mm-hmm.
they could never use mutants because Fox owned the X-Men.
Right.
But many times they make a reference that there is a part of the human genome, part of the human mind, that just needs to be turned on. That it's there, just not active yet.
Right.
Extremis, for example.
Yep, Iron Man 3.
He's showing his brain, talking about turning that switch on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see these references multiple times throughout the MCU. So I kind of got the sense they always knew or hoped that mutants would be there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't know how they're going to get it. So they kept laying the groundwork for mutants to come in.
Right.
I'm wondering if this might be a similar case of how this is going to work, because Darcy was saying her trips through that field mm-hmm. has started to change her on a very cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if Wanda needs to expand WandaVision even further? What happens if she draws on whatever is giving her this power boost to mm-hmm. push this to encompass the entire world?
Right. Like, what happens at the end, for example? What I'm thinking about is at the end, where the illusion or this construct that she has created ends, right? How is it going to end? Is it going to implode into itself? Or is it going to explode into the world?
Right.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm wondering at. Because ultimately, we see what happens to Vision if he tries to leave.
Mm-hmm. Which was terrible.
One, it's not letting him to leave because he doesn't really exist outside of this world. So
right.
everything that didn't exist is being pulled back in. So the only right. way for Wanda to get Vision back, if that is the ultimate goal, to bring Vision back into the MCU, is to explode it to encompass the world, rather than implode it to shut it off.
You're right.
How is that energy going to be changing people on the setup?
Absolutely. But obviously, it has to be a significant amount of high energy for that. And it's not going to be a only, again, if they did that, then everyone in the world technically would be affected by it. If they do this, where how they set it up with Wanda's construct or the hex exploding and scattering through the world, it's going to be like not this generation of people, but the next generation who, mm-hmm. you know, the parents or the people who were affected by this, when they grow up, they're going to have kids and those kids are going to be mutated.
There might be a few key people if they are going that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't know. Kevin Feige says he has no plans of actually bringing the X-Men in. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Right.
Maybe that's just a misdirect. We don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, they might do a few key people to have changed,
you right. know,
such as the leaders of the mutant events. So the mm-hmm. first people you're going to see would be Magneto, Xavier, that kind of person.
Right, for sure. Now, it's going to be interesting again, because now we know that the Hex changes people on a cellular level. So it's going to depend on how much exposure you get to the Hex. And it sounds like it's more of coming in and out that does the trick. It's not necessarily being in it that's going to change you, that's going to change your cells, right? It's more of just mm-hmm. exiting in and out of the hex. So how that's going to affect everybody at the end is going to be really interesting. Again, I'm excited to see how this is going to be resolved. Again, I'm still in the mindset that there's more going on here than what we see, especially considering that Wanda doesn't remember anything about how she created this whole thing to begin with. It tells me again that there's going to be a villain somewhere around here. If there isn't, then it will be a first in the MCU where we have a TV series or a movie where the superhero
doesn't have a supervillain.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, with that, Dan, I know we try and keep these short, but man, I'm telling you, we could have full episode reactions on every half hour episode of this show.
Definitely.
Any final thoughts or questions you want to drop?
So I want to know if people still think that Agnes is another key player, another key
Agatha Harkness.
There's something else here. Again, I want to know, do people still think that?
Yeah. If you think that Agnes is still somehow involved and connected to keeping this show running, hit us up on Facebook at
Streaming Thoughts and on Twitter at
Streaming Geek.
And this has been Daniel.
This has been Nathan.
Thank you for listening.